Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and welcoming you to another episode of the podcast to talk about books. If you've read the title of this episode, you see it's 'tis the season to give thanks, so it's a Thanksgiving-themed episode. And before you say, Sarah, are you confused? Thanksgiving isn't until next week. I will say you are correct, and I am confused about a great many things, I'm sure, but in this case, I actually do know Thanksgiving is next week, but I've got two author interviews lined up over the weekend, so those episodes will air next week, Tuesday and probably Friday, since Thursday is Thanksgiving, and so I thought I would jump ahead and do my Thanksgiving episode early rather than later. Are you the type of person who reads holiday-themed books? I mean, do you have certain go-to books that you read at Thanksgiving? I think for myself, probably the only thing I read that's holiday-themed would be more Christmas-themed. You know, I watch a lot of Christmas movies, and there's some Christmas books that I like to read. But I don't read, you know, I don't read a lot of, like, Thanksgiving-themed books or, I don't know, Valentine's Day themed books or Easter themed books. I love themes, and I tend to decorate my mantle in a monthly theme, but I guess when it comes to books, I have thought about it. I just always think about it too late. Like, the week before Thanksgiving might not be the best time to start thinking about your Thanksgiving themed books, unless you're planning for next year, and then hey, go for it. But I'm wondering if you have ever thought about a Thanksgiving themed book and what that book might be. For me, there's some children's books that I really like in terms of Thanksgiving, and I've talked about the Night Before series before by Natasha Wing, and she has one, The Night Before Thanksgiving. So based on the traditional poem, The Night Before Thanksgiving has the same cadence, the same idea. And I'll just read you a little bit. It is by Natasha Wing and illustrated by Tammy Lyon. It's a picture book for children. And it starts out, "'Twas the night before Thanksgiving, and all through the nation, families got ready for the big celebration. At our house, my mom baked three kinds of pies, pecan and pumpkin and apple surprise. That night we were nestled all snug in our beds while visions of turkey legs danced in our heads. The very next morning, Thanksgiving, yippee, we got up and watched the parade on TV." So you get the idea. I mean, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but that gives you an idea of the style, and the illustrations are colorful and fun. You know, there are turkey legs instead of sugar plums dancing in their head. I think they're a very cute idea, and I love that she's taken them to, she has them for so many different holidays, and I love that. I maybe don't read holiday-themed books for myself, but I definitely am more likely to read them with children, with my nieces, or when I was working with children, I would find different holiday-themed books to read to them at the appropriate time. They're maybe a little easier to find than, you know, like I said, Christmas books are easy to find. Maybe Thanksgiving books, not so much. Thanksgiving, they do have a lot of cozy mysteries I've discovered that are Thanksgiving-themed, and I guess that does make some sense. if you have a tradition of reading holiday-themed books, that's awesome. I'd love to hear about it. I'm also curious what your family traditions are. I think growing up, I always thought, oh, everybody does Thanksgiving exactly the same. Why wouldn't they do it just like my family? But of course, that's not the case. Maybe it was more so the case of people that I knew in my hometown, but certainly not everywhere. For my family, we tended to spend Thanksgiving Thanksgiving or Easter with my dad's family, but Christmas was always with my mom's side of the family because my grandmother's birthday was the 23rd. So we would always go to grandma's on the 23rd and come home on the 26th. But Thanksgiving was often with my dad's family. Sometimes Easter was with my dad's family. And to me, I thought it was very traditional, you know, turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, cranberry of some kind. We used to have cranberry in a can or cranberry homemade cranberries, which none of us ever liked. And then my mom discovered this cranberry jello recipe. Yeah, we're Lutheran. We're Lutheran, Norwegian Lutherans. So there's jello in our lives with whipped cream and cranberries. And that was really good. My favorite pie is probably, I don't know if always, but my favorite pie is pecan pie. I do like pumpkin pie, but I will take pecan any day, especially chocolate pecan. Oh my gosh, it's so rich. Growing up, especially when we spent the holiday with my dad's family, there was most often mincemeat pie, which I refused to try, absolutely refused it. I'm sure someone must have told me that it doesn't have meat in it. I mean, traditionally it could, but the recipe that my grandmother made did not, but I don't think I believed anyone, and mincemeat pie just sounded gross to me, so I was sticking with turkey for my Thanksgiving protein. Growing up, I realized then, of course, that not everybody does Thanksgiving the same way. You know, there's a lot of controversy over stuffing. Never realized that. We did bread stuffing. My mom would actually save bread crusts and use those, crumble them up, make the stuffing out of that. I always loved her stuffing. Didn't realize that there were a million different variations on stuffing until later, and then I was shocked, amazed, maybe slightly horrified at all the different versions, because I thought our version was the best. Thank you very much. I've since tried some others, and yeah, there's some fun options out there. And then I grew up and got married and learned that my husband's family does not do Thanksgiving any way, shape, or form like my family. First off, they have mac and cheese, which we never ever had for Thanksgiving. I was not shocked, but I was like, oh, okay, that seems weird, but it's perfectly normal for their traditions. You know, one person's weird is another person's perfectly normal. Had to get used to that. Had to also get used to the number of times you eat in my husband's family. So you can start as early as 11 and go to one family and eat an entire Thanksgiving meal, because you have to cook, you have to eat what everyone cooks. And then a couple hours later, you go to another member's of the family and you do the same thing. And then a couple hours later, you go to someone else's house, and around 7 or 8, you'll finally finish with the fourth or so family member and full Thanksgiving meal. Did you ever see that episode of The Vicar of Dibley where she couldn't figure out how to turn down the invitations to all the Christmas dinners, and she ends up being driven home in like a tractor, like in the scoop of a, why can't I think of the word, heavy equipment. Anyway, in the scoop of, it's not a backhoe, but sorry, losing my train of thought. That's how I feel when I spend Thanksgiving with my husband's family, is just so incredibly full. Try to, you know, pace myself, try not to eat too much, try not to get too crazy, but whew, it is a marathon, not a sprint when it comes to Thanksgiving for my husband's family. So I'm curious what your traditions are. What kind of food did you grow up with? What is something that you absolutely have to have on the table that you would, that just, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without? I know a lot of people love green bean casserole. We didn't grow up with green bean casserole. I grew up not liking sweet potatoes or yams, and which is crazy because, you know, my family makes them with brown sugar and marshmallows. What's not to like, but didn't like it. Learned later in life that I love raw sweet potato. So that was just one more nail in the coffin of my weirdness. What are those things in your life that you have to have on that Thanksgiving table? Or that you, if you see on the Thanksgiving table, you're like, no, please, no. Someone I follow on Twitter said that now is the time of year when you keep seeing ads for green bean casserole and it makes her nauseous every time. So she's clearly not a fan of the green bean casserole. I think on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about books and less about just, you know, random Thanksgiving traditions, but there'll still be some of that thrown in there. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back. Hi, this is Sarah, host of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. As not only the host of a book review podcast, but also someone who loves to read, I get excited when I get to recommend books for you, and I have one of those today. The New York Times bestselling author of Hoot, Carl Hiaasen, is back with Squirm, a wildly entertaining, slightly twisted new adventure about snakes, grizzly bears, a spy drone, a missing dad, and knowing when and when not to let things go. Squirm is recommended for readers ages 8 through 12, so if you have someone in your life who might enjoy this book, or someone in your life who you already know loves Carl Hiaasen, maybe you love to read together as a family. Whether you're already fans or you're looking for something new to read, I can definitely recommend Squirm by Carl Hiaasen. Support for this message comes from Random House Children's Books, and Squirm is available now wherever books are sold. Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, where we are talking today about books about Thanksgiving, more books about gratitude, Thanksgiving themes, Thanksgiving traditions, all of that good stuff. As I said in the first segment, it's easier, I think, to find books about Thanksgiving for children. There's a lot of them. One of my favorite traditions growing up was, you know, a lot of people watch the parade on Thanksgiving Day. That wasn't one of our traditions, probably because we had a black and white TV till I was in like fifth grade, and it just wasn't quite as fun as watching it on color. I do watch it now, but I watched a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving every year. Love Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Always a little disturbed, though, when Woodstock eats turkey at the end of the episode. Whatever. That is a book, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, so you can read that one on Thanksgiving if you're looking for a theme. The concern that I have is balancing the historical story with historical reality, maybe. You know, it's kind of hard to talk about Thanksgiving without getting into the colonialism and everything that happened afterwards. I mean, the basis of the story of coming together and giving thanks is great, but we definitely read that story through certain lenses, and it can be problematic. So when I talk about Thanksgiving books, it's either, you know, kind of generally about Thanksgiving, or it's more about gratitude. It has to be a specific type of book in terms of the historical aspects of it, because you just want to be, you know, you want to be careful how you tell that story, how you interpret that story, what lenses you look at that story through. So yeah, there's some stuff, but there are some good books out there that give you the history and don't make it too biased, I guess, one way or the other. As I mentioned in the first segment, also, I noticed that there are maybe numerous, I don't know how many when I was looking at lists, cozy mysteries that involve, that are either set right around, that are set right around Thanksgiving. So that's kind of fun. I think that holidays and family gatherings are always a good place to set cozy mysteries, because zaniness ensues when you gather all of your family together, especially those family members that have opinions, differing opinions, and Yeah, it can get really interesting around the Thanksgiving table. I was looking at lists of books and some of the children's books that I love. I've talked about Junie B. Jones on the podcast before, and Junie B. has a book called Turkeys We Have Loved and Eaten and Other Thanksgiving Stuff. Turkeys We Have Loved and Eaten. That is just such a Junie B. Jones title. So room one is getting ready for their very own Thanksgiving feast. There's even a contest to see which room can write the best thankful list. The winners will get a pumpkin pie. Only it turns out being thankful is harder than it looks, because Junie B is not actually thankful for Tattletale May or scratchy pilgrim costumes, and pumpkin pie makes her vomit anyway. Will room one win the disgusting pie? Can May and Junie B find common ground? Or will this Thanksgiving feast turn into a Turkey Day disaster? I love Junie B. She's so overwrought, melodramatic. It's just awesome. I think she's my spirit animal, my spirit inner child, something. But that reminds me of the gratitude, the giving thanks. And one of my favorite things when I was working with children was always the unfilteredness of them and the honesty of them. Sometimes they are so brutally honest that it hurts when, you know, they have no tact. But I loved when we would talk about, what are you thankful for? What makes you happy? What do you give thanks for? And it can be a tricky thing, depending on the age, to kind of understand that concept. But, you know, you'd get the typical answers, family, parents, pets. But I love that, you know, kids being kids, they would just throw things out there like, you know, their Xbox or their... Just stuff. And I know they were always trying to stump me. There were certain kiddos that I worked with who were always trying. They would try to make me, you know, snort with laughter. And so they would come up with some amazing, amazing things. And like one kid, I think he was about four. We were talking about, what are you thankful for? And he just pipes up with, drinking the water makes you have to pee. I was like, yes, yes, it does. But we are thankful for hydration. Adult books, when you type in, even if you type in novels about gratitude or novels about Thanksgiving, you tend to get a lot in the self-help realm. And I'm not dissing that realm, that genre. No, just that's not quite the area I was looking for. But there was one that did intrigue me. It's called What Makes You Grateful? Voices from Around the World. In 2011, author Anne Kubitsky began asking, what makes you grateful? And invited people to write or draw a glimmer of gladness on a postcard and mail it back to her. This book represents just a portion of the thousands of responses that came pouring in. And I love that. I mean, it's, you know, kind of that traditional, let's go around the table and say what we're grateful for, but a postcard is not very big. There's not a lot of room to draw or write. And so it's glimmers, just glimmers of what makes you grateful. It's those moments where you can pause and look around you and just capture that moment, whether it's via a picture or whether it's just in the, you know, the picture in your mind or whatever. There is a children's book called Gratitude Soup. And it's also another children's book, this one about Violet the Purple Fairy, who learns how to make gratitude soup by thinking of all the things, people, places, and experiences that she is grateful for. Perfect for teaching your children about gratitude with fun and play, this rhyming, colorful 8x10 picture book combines a collage and watercolors as Violet the Purple Fairy tells her own story of cooking with gratitude. I wonder what those books would look like for adults. I know that's kind of a simplistic idea, but I guess it would look like maybe the postcard book where the people wrote on the postcards and sent them to the author. But, you know, we can all use reminders to be thankful and grateful and acknowledge those things that we're grateful for. Even the things that are hard to be grateful for, you know, that person that just rubs us the wrong way or whatever it is. Another book is called Thanksgiving, A Collections of Essays, Prayers, and Toasts. And I, you know, that's always kind of nice to have, you know, a collection of something that a lot of families or some families, I don't know, I don't have statistics in front of me, but families, some families like to read together and maybe read some shorter stories as part of their traditions. So that's nice that there are, you know, books out there of essays, of poetry, those types of things. I always appreciate. One book that kept popping up on the lists as I was searching for books was, it's just called Thanksgiving by Janet Ivanovich. And I have talked about Janet Ivanovich on this podcast before a couple of times for her Stephanie Plum series and her Fox and O'Hare series. So this is one of her earlier novels, back before I started reading her. It's a romance, and it takes place around, obviously, Thanksgiving. So that kept coming up because it's definitely a novel set during Thanksgiving. It's a romance. I think I read that it came out in 1988, so certainly one of her earlier works. That can be fun. Ooh, 1988. The fashion would be fabulous in that book. So if you're a fan of Stephanie Plum or some of Janet Ivanovich's other series or novels, then, you know, if you're looking for something Thanksgiving themed, but still with romance and still with humor, then you might want to check out Thanksgiving by Janet Ivanovich. And I think that's the perfect place to take yet another break. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and we're talking about Thanksgiving books, or books and Thanksgiving, or maybe books to read on Thanksgiving. I have decided that I definitely need to compile a list of books to read either before next Thanksgiving or to have set aside to start reading during the fall and getting ready for Thanksgiving. Maybe starting, you know, after Halloween and starting on the 1st of November, since Thanksgiving is toward the end of November. That's one of my pet peeves, is that, you know, there's that meme that you see on social media where it's the fairy godmother's talking to Cinderella and she says, "And then, my dear, at the stroke of midnight, bam, their Thanksgiving, Halloween's over, and bam, Christmas carols everywhere." And it's a little bit true, you know? I mean, it's starting in, it's like August. You start getting Halloween in one aisle and Christmas in the next aisle, and there might be like some Thanksgiving napkins tucked on an end cap somewhere. Thanksgiving just gets the short end of the stick when it comes to holiday stuff. And I know we get a little caught up in commercialism and everything, but like I said, I like a theme, and I like, you know, I decorate my mantle differently for every month. So I decorate November for Thanksgiving, and I'm silly, and I like silly things like holiday-themed socks. And I do actually have three pairs of Thanksgiving socks. One of them is adorable. The other two are okay. They're not that cute, though. There could be more. I mean, come on. This just, work with me, people. I need themes. I need Thanksgiving earrings and Thanksgiving socks and, I don't know, some Thanksgiving leggings. I don't know. I don't even know what those would look like. They'd probably be pretty horrible. At any rate, books to read. I'm going to start compiling my list. I would love it if you would share, if you already have a list, if you would share it. If you start compiling a list, if you would share it. I would love that, because Well, I have way too many books to read as it is, but I will always happily add books to my to-be-read list. Speaking of lists, there are plenty of lists if you want to start looking up some books to read. As I mentioned, there are a lot of cozy-themed mysteries. If you just type in cozy-themed mysteries, a lot of books come up. So there actually are quite a few books that at least either take place around Thanksgiving, or they have something to do with Thanksgiving. I noticed as I was looking at the list that Joanne Fluke has a book that has a Thanksgiving theme, and I just lost the title. Give me a second. It's called Raspberry Danish Murder. Maybe you know Joanne Fluke because you read her books. Maybe you know Joanne Fluke because you, like I, are a Hallmark movie fanatic. Hallmark, Lifetime, all the cheesier the better. I know they're predictable. I know they're going to end in a certain way. I will watch them anyway. My husband laughs at me every year because I will watch all of those. Anyway, it's a series by Joanne Fluke, and the main character is Hannah Swenson, owns a bakery, and she solves mysteries. So this one apparently takes place around Thanksgiving. So that's something to add to your list. It turns out that there are a lot of series that apparently have books that take place around Thanksgiving. Even the J.D. Robb series. J.D. Robb is another of Nora Roberts' pen names. Well, Nora Roberts is a pen name also, but J.D. Robb and Nora Roberts are the same person, and J.D. Robb writes mysteries, crime fiction. They take place around 50 years in the future, I think. And she has one called Thankless in Death that takes place around Thanksgiving. And you get the main character, Eve Dallas, she's getting a little bit softer as the series goes on. And she learns to actually interact with the human race a little better after a very difficult childhood. But she's just annoyed with all traditions. She's like the opposite of me. She just wants to ignore traditions and themes and just get down to her job and paying attention to those sorts of things. But so that one does. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I was talking about the book the Quilters series. The first one is The Quilters Apprentice by Jennifer Chiaverini. And she has one of the books in that series also takes place at Thanksgiving. See, Thanksgiving gets the short shrift every time. Even I can't say it. Goodreads has a list of Thanksgiving romances, some of which sound truly terrible. And I mean terrible in like the best possible way. I mean, some of these titles, and a lot of them are, they have, you know, numbers in the title. So it's a series and it's number 4, it's number 10, it's number whatever. So apparently when you're writing a series, eventually you're going to come around to Thanksgiving and you can set one of your books during that time. And like I said, some of them look truly, truly terrible in delightfully wonderful ways. I do love a good cheesy holiday themed romance. I am not ashamed to admit it. What are your favorite Thanksgiving books? Are you a mystery reader? Do you have favorite cozy Thanksgiving books? Do you have your own favorite Thanksgiving romance themed books? I would love to know your thoughts. What are your favorite Thanksgiving themed children's books? Are you a fan of Charlie Brown and the Great Thanksgiving? It's Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Are you a fan of some of the stories like 10 Little Turkeys that take, again, traditional poems like 10 Little Pumpkins or 10 Little Witches and 10 Little Turkeys, or The Night Before Thanksgiving? Would you prefer some of the more historical books that tell a story from a maybe better perspective than we sometimes got growing up? I would love to hear your thoughts. I would also love to hear your thoughts on your own Thanksgiving traditions. What do you love? What are the foods that you love? I can't picture Thanksgiving without. What are the foods that you would just as soon picture Thanksgiving without? What are your plans for next week? I would love to hear that. I'm so nosy. I sit here in the studio and I talk to you and I, you know, picture you in this sort of faceless group of podcast listeners, and I think you're all awesome. of course, you're all awesome. You're readers, so that just makes you automatically awesome. But I would love to get to know you a little bit, so you're not quite so faceless and nameless. And tell me about your Thanksgiving. What are you doing next week? Even if you're not even doing anything Thanksgiving, you're just taking some time to not be at work. We are having Thanksgiving dinner with some friends. Neither of us lives near family at the moment, my husband and I. My husband's from Ohio and I'm from Montana, and we are not going to be making it home for Thanksgiving to either state, which makes us sad, but that we have friends here in California who are very gracious and invite us to Thanksgiving dinner every year at their house when we're in town. And they are like family, so that is lovely. And they don't do anything really weird on Thanksgiving that makes me want to question their Thanksgiving traditions. So, you know, we can still be friends. We'd still be friends anyway. Thanksgiving. I'm excited. I love holidays. It's a lot of carbs, but I'm going to make it work. And I hope that you have a wonderful holiday. I hope that you get to spend it with family, however you define family, however that works for you, family that is loving and supportive and gracious to you. And if you have a family that drives you crazy, well, I hope they drive you crazy in a loving way that you still love them and it's not just torture. Next Tuesday, I will have an interview, as I said at the beginning of the podcast. I have a return author coming back to the podcast. Tommy Carbone was on in, I think, May, talking about his first book, which was a memoir called Growing Up Greenpoint. He has now written a mystery, and so he's moved from memoir to mystery, from fiction to, or from nonfiction to fiction, and it is called Mystery at Moose Lake, and he will be here to talk about that. I'm excited to have him back on the podcast. So please do join me on Tuesday for that interview. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. I hope that there's plenty of time for reading and that you have plenty, plenty, plenty of time to go out and get lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.